Online with us right now is the lovely Belinda Bach. Linda, she has porcelain skin and just gorgeous, and has an incredible voice and also a talent for writing. We'll talk about. How are you, Belinda?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. You obviously have music in the genes.
So I've been told.
Yeah. Now, was Mom into music as well?
Yes. My mother is a classically trained opera singer.
Mm.
And she studied at KU and IU, and she's got a pretty amazing instrument.
Wow. And tell us about Dad.
okay. Hard to sum it up. My dad was kind of a hero to me, especially musically. He just did everything. Like, we'd go to a party and somebody would have a balalaika sitting around, and he'd pick it up and play it. You know, mm-hmm. No training. He did that. He could pick up any instrument and have it mastered in 10 minutes, or at least mastered well enough to play it for everybody. But he just had a knack for music that was absolutely amazing to me.
Yeah, of course, your dad was one of the members of Spanky and our gang.
Yes, yes. And Spanky and our gang was one of his three bands, and it was the most famous. I've had a chance to meet all the members of the band except Malcolm. Chris Malcolm died before I was born, but when he was with Spanky, he did a lot of the arranging for them. In fact, he did most of the arranging for them. He did some of the writing, but it was kind of a group effort. But I do know that my dad did a lot of the vocal arranging, that he handed out parts and they practiced.
Now, actually, he actually left the group at one point, right?
Yes. I don't know the exact reasons he had for leaving the group. I don't know whether it was on good terms or bad terms. I do know he did leave. And when he left, he went on to put together Wings, another band of his. And then after that, he had a band called Tarantula, which was kind of a... Zappa-esque acid rock band.
Hmm. So he had quite a bit of extensive... did he ever regret? Did he ever mention to the family regretting leaving Spanky and our gang?
I don't think there was any real bad blood about it. I think, in a way, he wished he'd done it, but he got to do so many other things.
Yeah.
So I don't think there was any real bad blood about it, no.
Hmm. You are a very unique singer-songwriter yourself, and I was listening to your CD called Leaves of December. I really liked it a lot, particularly the song I just played for everybody called Silhouettes.
Silhouettes,
a nice song.
Oh, thank you. Mm. Silhouettes is kind of a song about leaving a place you're comfortable in, like, you know, leaving home and moving someplace new. I like that song.
I noticed that I'm looking at your photo here, and you are one of these beautiful porcelain-colored, beautiful women, just so lovely and light, and yet your music is kind of dark.
Well, this is kind of hard to explain. I don't really look at my music as dark. I kind of write stream of consciousness, and I'm good with rhyme. But a lot of it sounds like and comes across as dark, but it's not really. It's just kind of a stream of consciousness, how I'm feeling at the moment. Sometimes I listen to my own music and I say, what the heck was I thinking when I wrote that?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can't even really recapture the emotion at the time I was writing it.
But I assume that you do what I do, and that is, when I write poetry, for instance, I write when I'm in some kind of emotional state, and it helps me dissipate the stress onto the paper. And I would assume that you write also when you're feeling something rather than feeling nothing.
Yeah, Yeah, I don't necessarily sit down and say, oh, I'd like to write now. No, I get in the mood and I sit down with my guitar and I just kind of pour out, and usually I feel a lot better after I do that.
Here's some of the examples, some of the great lyrics that Belinda Bach has written, my guest right now. Here's one from a song called Velvet. Find a roller coaster rat race that you can hope that you can win. Just when you think you're in the lead, to let the faster rats get in. I like that.
Velvet is kind of my anti-drug song. You wouldn't really know it to analyze it, but it's kind of my anti-doing drugs song.
That's the great thing about music, Belinda, that one person takes out of something completely different than what someone else does and what is originally written.
Oh, I agree.
And people can take anything out of that, about anything they're doing. Here's another one from Shoreline that I really liked. If time can take the broken soul and teach it to fly away, then the sun sets a razor and cuts through each day, or cuts through the day. If I could read, it'd be great. But I like the lyrics. They have this. Here's an example of the darkness I was talking about in a song called Fairy Tale. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't bring dreamers back to life. And if there's another way, please tell me, and I'll write it sweetly. But otherwise, find your own happily ever after.
Yeah, I guess my lyrics do come across as dark. I guess they do. I don't mean for them to, but I guess they do.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, some of the best music that's ever been written has a little bit of a darkness to it. And some of the best poetry, example, Edgar Allan Poe, has a darkness to it, but it's stood up as a classic for many years.
Yes, it's true.
So there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
I guess people in general just kind of flock to that kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, you obviously, it said that you've been under contract previously as a writer for a company called Pivot Records.
Yes.
Are you doing that still, or are you doing it on your own now?
Well, the contract expired a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I never bothered to go back down to Miami and renew it. They did ask me to, and legally, because of the contract, I had to consider it. But I didn't, because one of the stipulations in the contract was, while they had the rights to this music, I couldn't do anything with it. But I could perform it, but I couldn't do anything else with it.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, no, it's not really, I don't think, because a lot of writers who do what they were doing was they were basically using these songs for another artist. And it was just during that time period I couldn't record them.
But were they actually using them? Were other people recording it and it was getting done?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
So you were making some money at least?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was getting paid, so.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yes, nothing wrong with that.
And you're getting paid, that's good.
Pretty good.
It's tough to make a living in music.
Yes, yes, it is. That's another reason my dad was such a hero to me, because he did. He made a good living in music, and he was so ultra talented. And I really would like to make a living in music, but like you said, it's very hard.
Did your dad ever give you any advice about the business?
Constantly, and he would not use his connections to help me. He wanted me to do it on my own, and every connection I have made and so forth, I have done on my own, and that made my dad proud. He liked telling people that I'd done it on my own. He was constantly giving me advice about how to deal with writing contracts, how to deal with people telling you need to do this thing, you need to do that thing, how to stand your ground but give in. He gave me a lot of advice about the music business.
I see you've entered a few contests and won a couple of first place awards and instrumental competition and songs competitions, and you got an honorable mention from a Billboard song contest. Is the name spreading around? And also, how much does it help to be Oz's daughter?
Well, the thing is, I'm kind of lucky because my dad was famous enough that people do know the name. but he wasn't so famous. I will be stigmatized by being Oz's daughter. Yeah. I can go out and make my own name.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a lot of artists like, I saw a thing about Enrique Iglesias and how he feels he's been stigmatized by being his father's son. And he hates that because he wants to be his own artist. And I feel I don't really have to face that at all.
Right.
Because people do know who my dad was. And they do respect him, and they do respect his music, but they don't expect me to be him at all.
Yeah, you seem to be pretty young, especially considering compared to me. I grew up with your dad's group's music, and really loved that stuff. And I was wondering if you were listening to it when you were young as well.
Yes, I did, and it's really funny. I know it's kind of cheesy to say this. But the 60s, the music of the 60s, is so timeless. It is so completely timeless. People of my generation know who my father's band was. You know, they hear it on the radios, because a lot of people my age do listen to those oldies stations, because it was such a wonderful time for music.
Yeah, it was, and I tell that all the time, and people say, oh, it's because of your age. But I always felt mid to late 60s and early 70s was the best music ever put out here.
Yes, at least in this century.
Yeah,
at least
so.
In the century.
But, of course, I get arguments from a lot of people. I can't believe that some of the new music out is going to be listened to 25 years from now, but who knows?
I can't either. I think music nowadays has gotten to a point, a lot of it has gotten to a point where it just comes and goes, and it will continue to come and go for quite a while. I think the 60s was a real renaissance for music, and we haven't seen anything like it since.
I understand that you actually played at a Spanking Our Gang reunion concert.
Yes. When they had their reunion concert in St. Augustine, I asked, and I was so scared to go up and ask because they were in rehearsal, and here were these master musicians who just had this chemistry on stage, and they were so professional, and here I was, little old me. And I walked up to Spanky, and I said, look, I was wondering if I could do a song for Dad, you know, because my dad had just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had had his funeral, he had done a piece called For Poor Wayfaring Stranger, which was a gospel piece, and I asked them if I could do that as a tribute to him. And they said yes, and I was so nervous. Because they're kind of a tough act to follow, you know?
Right, oh yeah, there's no question about that. Spanky McFarlane is so talented, and the rest of the group, they blend so well together.
Yes.
So
and they
how did it go? When you went up there, how did it go?
I think I messed up one chord at one point, but I don't think anybody noticed.
Yeah.
I'm good at faking.
Was there an electric sizzle going through you from being up there?
Oh yes, definitely. It was a really large crowd. I mean, the place was packed, and I've played for packed houses before. But not in this context. See, I was not just my own act this time. I was kind of, in a way, opening for another act.
Right.
And a really good, professional act with seasoned musicians. So it was, yeah, I was really nervous.
But it ended up doing well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I noticed that Lisa December came out in 1997. Do you have anything else in the works?
I have about a dozen songs that aren't on that album, and I haven't been able to get them recorded because at the moment I'm unsigned and I am producing my own material, which a lot of musicians are doing nowadays because,
sure.
You know, there's just too much BS with the big record industry. So a lot of musicians are doing this now, just producing their own stuff, recording on their own labels. But I have not really consigned to going back down because the studio I work with is in Fort Lauderdale,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't had the time to take out of life, go down there for a couple weeks and re-record a new album. I just haven't had time to do it. But this one for now, this one is selling well, and so.
Now, do you have a website people can visit that and hear some of the music, samples, or?
Yes. Actually, it's linked to my father's site, and the website, I think, is www.geocities.com/Sarah Connor/ oz.html. I'm linked
to that. No one is
going
to remember that. No one is going to remember that.
Well, I don't know.
Huh? You should get your own name, belindabach.com.
Actually, I think mine is Bing Page. But I don't have a short web listing.
No, that's bad. Well, what we'll do is we'll maybe you can send us a link to pmpnetwork.com, and we'll just put the link up on our site for you.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right, because we can refer some people to you. Are you going to ever be in Boston so we can meet you?
Actually, I have a friend who lives up there. She's actually at Harvard. So. She's an astrophysics major. So, yeah, I would definitely love to come up to Boston.
But when you come up to visit your astrophysics friend, make sure you look up Mark Snyder at PNP Network and say hello to us.
PNP Network. Okay,
PNP
I will.
Network.
Yes.
Not PNP, but PMP, PMPNetwork.com.
Okay.
And you can check out and actually listen to your own interview there, too.
Okay.
It was a pleasure talking to you, Belinda.
All right, thank
and,
you.
And say thank you to your mom, Sharon, for helping to set this up.
All right.
And we're going to be talking to Spanky in a little while. Anything you want to say to her?
Just tell her hi and keep the cookies cool, you know.
Keep the cookies cool.
Yes.
All right. Cookies around here don't get a chance to get cool. They're eaten before they cool off. All right, Belinda, thanks so much for coming on.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.